Today's Old Testament reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then, as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Last week we continued in Romans. We had a chance to hear the story of stinky VBS leaders' feet and how beautiful are the feet of those who bear good news. I just had to remind you one more time, we sacrifice a lot for VBS, even our noses. But we got to hear about how we all get the opportunity to go and share the good news of God. And in fact, that's how people come to hear about how good God is. And when through hearing his word, they come to faith and trust in him. Today, we continue in Romans chapter 11 in that same vein. Because you see, just as we had also heard that people come to faith through hearing the word of God, we also were told that not all have obeyed the gospel. Not everyone who's heard it has obeyed it. which is a funny way to put things, and we need to kind of cover that briefly before we jump into today's reading. To obey the gospel does not mean, I will do the gospel better. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that you can't do anything, that you who are a sinner cannot save yourself. So to think, okay, I have to take the gospel and do it good for myself, that's not what it's talking about. To disobey the gospel would mean to say, I hear what God is saying, I hear what he's offering, and I don't want it. I'm turning away from what God is giving me. That's what it means to disobey the gospel. That's what it means to disobey God. God says, I have something good and right and holy. And we in our own sinful nature say, nah, I don't want it. That's my summary of the Old Testament. I apologize. When we are faced with God's goodness, it can bring about all sorts of thoughts and feelings within us. We see it throughout Scripture where people are faced with God's goodness and they respond in fear and trembling at his holiness. We see it where people see God's goodness and they say, wow, how great and wonderful is this? Praise the Lord. We also see people who are presented with God's goodness, his holiness, and they turn their back on him. That's what we are faced with in our reading from Romans chapter 11 today. And we'll get to the crumbs, too. I like that. Perfect analogy. Paul continues in Romans saying, I ask then, has God rejected his people? Remember, the Israelites. I will be your God and you will be my people. Has he rejected them? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Remember, this is all following after that large chunk about being a part of God's family, the family that he foreknew, his people that are not just a blood lineage. We covered that all over 4 weeks, and so we have that in mind. God has not rejected his people. We had already clarified, you could be a member of his people, but not a member of his people, right? The same way that we are all children of Abraham through faith, we are his people. God has not rejected them. This is selected verses again because we were trying to cover all of Romans in one summer, and we don't want to take all of this summer and then all of the fall and the winter. So selected verses. We jump ahead a bit to verse 13. I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order, somehow, to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. He is, remember, this is the same Paul, who's not just a Jew. He says, I am a Jew of the Jews. I am the best of them. I am from the tribe of Benjamin. I have followed the law perfectly. I persecuted those people who we said were against God, which later on he'd say, oh, that was some of the worst things I've ever done. But he says, I am cream of the crop. And I am here talking to you. I care about you. I have been sent to bring the gospel to you Gentiles. And I want everyone to know it, because I want the Jews to be jealous about it. They don't get Paul. Sorry. Special today only in Rome. Forget the Jewish people right now. I want them to be jealous and to understand that there's something happening that they don't understand. I want them to say, why is Paul out there talking to them? Why does he care so much about bringing this message to people who are not God's people? I want them to be saved. I want them to understand God is doing something different. Jumping ahead a few more verses again, we're into verse 28 now, flying through Romans chapter 11. As regards the gospel, they, that being the Jewish people, are enemies for your sake. They, God's people, are enemies of the gospel for your, the Gentiles' sake. He's saying in some fashion, God's people saying, I don't want to listen to Jesus. I don't want to listen to the truth that is his holiness. I don't want to listen to this new covenant, this new gospel of love and mercy, which isn't new. He's been saying it all through the Old Testament also. This idea that he would show love and mercy to all people, I don't want to hear it. And because they are so in opposition to that, it is of benefit to everybody else. We saw in our gospel reading, right, the story of Jesus, who sounds really heartless. Could you imagine, like, being a part of this scenario and then leaving before Jesus, like, brings it around at the end? This lady's out there begging, like, oh, Jesus, please help me. No. Well, please, please help me. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Please, Lord, help me. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Man, someone missed out if they just turned around and walked away. Like, that Jesus, he's not a nice guy. Because it continues. She persists. He said, dogs? Fine, I'm in the position of a dog. I'm not part of his house. That's fine. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus, who clearly had been putting on airs a little bit, trying to push this woman to see, is she just looking for a free handout? No, she has faith and trust in me. She knows that what I have to give is good. And Jesus answers her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus didn't come just for the house of Israel. Jesus came for all people. God wants everyone to be saved. What a perfect imagery, too, because our family, we have a dog. If you come over and visit, you should meet Watson. He's a good boy. He's very excited, and he will love you, and he might love you too much and release his bladder about it. He's a good dog. Now, he loves our whole family. He loves us dearly. But tell you what, his favorite person right now is probably Rosie, who sits up in her high chair and enjoys all the food we give her, and she eats it all. And every once in a while, she's like, dog, 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 and she puts her hand over. And we keep trying to stop her, and we don't like that Watson comes over and, you know, like, oh, it's a hard thing. Pray for Bethany. This idea, though, that, you know, this, what a perfect imagery. Thanks, Rosie. I didn't ask her permission to share this. But she's out there just doing God's will, casting out love and mercy and charity to all the people, even the dog. This is what the gospel is to you and to me. We have a God who loves us so much that it doesn't matter whether or not we're from the right family, whether or not we're perfect, whether or not we've been in church every Sunday all summer long hearing the whole Romans series. It doesn't matter how good or perfect or imperfect we are, for that matter. Our God loves each and every one of us, and his mercy is for all people. Everyone gets to receive from God what he has to offer. We continue then with verse 29 in Romans 11. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may know and now receive mercy. It's a lot of mercy and obedience and disobedience back and forth. It's good. I had to, like, underline the right things to say at the right times. We all have been disobedient. We all are sinners. And at different times, we are disobedient to the gospel. We don't follow the goodness that God has to offer us. And yet, other people's disobedience with then God's mercy helps just facilitate other people seeing how merciful God is. God and his mercy came to each of us when we were imperfect. When we were dead in our trespasses, he saved us. We cannot save ourselves. We talked about this also before, that we are not the ones who can somehow become faithful in God, but that he is the one who through his Holy Spirit comes to us and changes our heart, making us his own. Because of his mercy for the previously disobedient, we are now obedient to the gospel. And the hope is that in seeing this, even those who have rejected him would come to see just how loving and merciful he is, that they too would be brought around by the gospel. Then verse 32, for God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. All of us have been consigned to, been called disobedient. Every person on earth, doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, Christian or non-Christian, LCMS Lutheran or other brother or sister in Christ. It does not matter. God loves each of us and has his mercy on all of us. And yet people need to hear this. They need to know this and become obedient to it. To say, that sure sounds great. God, thank you for being merciful to me. Have mercy on me. And as God is doing this in our lives, people are seeing it and hopefully being changed to feel that way also. The will of God is that everyone who lives in disobedience would come to obey the gospel, to know it, to hear it, to love it, to become a part of it. What is the will of God? That he would have mercy on everyone. Shameless plug for our Sunday Bible study. We talked about that this morning. We just finished up the story of Jonah. Jonah is a whole account by a prophet who lays bare all of his shortcomings. We got to the end of it, and we discussed today how funny it is that it ends on a sad note, for Jonah, really. It ends not saying, and then Jonah trusted God. Yay, the end. God calls Jonah out because, if you remember the story, right, Jonah had gone to the people of Nineveh after he didn't want to go, and God had him cast into the sea through a storm and then swallowed by a fish and then vomited out on dry land. And now he's like, okay, are you going to listen now? And Jonah's like, yeah. He goes and he prophesies to the people of Nineveh. Not a great prophecy of gospel message, but to say, you're going to be destroyed in 40 days' time. They hear it. They repent. Jonah sits down and is angry about it. God, I knew you were a God of mercy and you loved them. You were going to do this the whole time. That's why I didn't want to come here. I don't like them. And God said, you know what? I have mercy on them. How much should I care about all of them? He lists how many just children there are, and you assume then there's a lot more adults than that. It's a large people group. I've chosen to have mercy on them. They repented. They were disobedient. They are now showing obedience and following me. I will have mercy on them. And it just leaves off there. Leaves off with Jonah's scolding. But what a great account for us. We don't want to, at some point, become those people who say, well, God, why do you want to bring mercy to these other people? Have you not seen how bad they are? They're terrible. It's just the worst. God says, at one point, you were disobedient, and you are now obedient to the gospel. You are saved because of Jesus Christ's obedience, the obedience that led him to live a perfect life and give it to you, and to die in your place on the cross, that you would be saved from your sins. And you now live with him in this new life, an obedient life, part of my people. I have had mercy on you. Show my mercy to other people. Let them be jealous about it. Let them see it and say, I want to be saved. I want that. And God be praised that as soon as they would say that, it's already happening in their hearts. That mercy on all, that will of God that all would be saved. Your Greek word of the day, eleisse, have mercy on all, eleisse. To say, I would want to have mercy on all people. Eleo is the word to have mercy. You change the way it ends, and like, who's that mercy going to? You might know this from other languages, right? You can change the ending of a word, and it's like, oh, who's receiving this thing? Who's receiving the mercy? All people. Not just my people, not just the obedient ones, not just the ones over here. On all people, they all should receive mercy. Which drives us back to last week. So go and tell people about it. Go and share what God has gotten for us. How beautiful is it that we know this? How beautiful is it that we have been now made obeyers of the gospel who hear it and know it and put our full trust in it? This is what is our salvation. God wants it for everybody. And as we continue with Romans, we'll continue to see this all play out. It started with talking about how the righteous will live by faith, and he continues to flesh that all out. You are made righteous, and you live because of the faith that is in you. Others will be made righteous and live because of the mercy God has shown to you and to me. And may God continue to use that truth, not just to guard and keep your hearts and minds, but to bring others into it, that we might all receive life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.